You're in the zone.
Nonstop. Right hand, left hand, nonstop, Josh.
With Jason Anderson.
At the time, it is the only thing I want to do.
Yeah.
The next day, I 100% regret it every time.
Yeah.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Wednesday, hump day edition of the show. Mick Schaefer hanging out with us for the final hour. He is brought to you by Kona Big Wave. Take a little break. Single task tonight with a Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company. Hi, Mick.
Single task the crap out of tonight.
Good for you, man. Good for you. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to take your word for it that it's going to be great.
I'm going to be multitasking tomorrow, fellas.
Is it
100 years? Is that right?
100 years Radio 810. A lot of people think it started in the late 90s. Yes.
Because I was doing the math because Sports Radio 810, I think, came around in 98.
We had our 20-year party a couple years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is weird to have like
2019.
A 24-year anniversary. That's kind of odd. But it's WHB, which has been around
for 100 years,
yes,
as of tomorrow, apparently.
It existed before Marconi discovered the radio waves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, we figured this out forever ago in Kansas City.
It's like
Spanish guy or the Italian guy, probably. Yeah,
we're
Italian
the world's
guy.
Happiest broadcasters. Mm-hmm. Just because you found it over in that country doesn't mean that we didn't already have it over here. This is American exceptionalism. We're we got 50,000 watts of that tower over there. All right, we know what we're doing. Yeah, oddly enough, invented before the radio was WHB.
Amazing.
So,
I didn't know that a Marconi was based on the name of the
Welcome to Radio guy.
The inventor of electrical engineering. I also didn't know that his full name is Guglielmo Giovanni Maria Marconi, which
exactly
is, yes, of course,
right.
Very Italian. That is like Picasso
exactly
levels of
right.
Italian.
Yeah. Here's the thing with getting a broadcasting degree.
You learn stuff like that?
Is that you don't need it to be in broadcasting. Because the advice I give to people all the time that are like, what would you give advice for kids that want to go into broadcasting? Well, it depends. Is it TV? Then, yeah, that's a little bit different maybe than, say, sports radio. I would get a different degree than broadcasting if I'm going into, say, sports radio or even play-by-play, because depending on the university you go to, there can be an actual course that you take which could allow you to work at the radio station or things like
sure.
that, to where it's just a course that you don't have to be in that major, whereas broadcasting major is going to teach you about Marconi and how to counter coral wires, which, you know, don't really need, don't really care. I'm just going to wrap them around my arm and throw them in the thing there and call it a day. Don't really need to know all of those things. Communication law, I think, matters. You know, you probably need to know some things that you're going to be saying on the air and of whether or not you're going to get sued or kicked off or fired. Those things certainly.
You radio guys are always worried about that.
Yeah.
Never cross the line there.
Well, only when we're asking Andy Reid a question.
Did you ever learn that Marconi was a fascist?
Well, I mean, he was from Italy, right?
No, I didn't.
Joined the National Fascist Party in 1923. I'm learning a lot on his Wikipedia page right now.
Don't think we studied that.
Cancel radio.
Introduction.
Cancel all of it.
All of it. Nope, radio's got to go.
Intro
gotta
to
go.
Broadcasting. Didn't realize that. Yeah, don't just get a regular broadcasting. Now, if it's journalism, TV side of it, because, yeah, I do think there's a lot more that goes into TV rather than just opening up the microphone and going, all right, let's get at it, guys.
I learned how to splice together audio tape. Where I take a chalk line and cut it, or and then cut where the chalk line is, and then tape it together.
Oh yeah, the reel to reel. You know, we had to do that
and
as well.
I can't tell you how many times I've done that in the real world since. I can. It's zero.
Yeah, zero. I'm convinced that the only reason we were taught to do that is because the professors were pissed about the fact that they had to do that, and we had like. At that time, mini discs, you know, that we were just cutting, like, oh, I can mark right there a mini disc at that time. They were mad about the mini discs and even the CDs and things like that, to where it was, no, you're going to splice reel to reel because I had to do it, damn it. And these MP3s and things like that, no. That's not how it's supposed to be done. This cool edit in your easy computer.
Go be like an engineering major in business, and then take your broadcasting class on the side. Mm-hmm. Have a fallback plan of engineering if you know, radio doesn't pan out.
Mm-hmm. I might
which
get
it usually does for
like
everybody.
I might get maybe a minor in broadcasting, like if a minor was available. But I certainly wouldn't go major broadcasting, minor in coaching.
You, unless what kind you're, of idiot?
Unless you're just simply saying, I just want the degree so that I can say that I graduated college. Like, how do I do that?
Major in broadcasting, minor in teaching. Just assure myself that I'm not going to make any money.
Yes. No, I minored in coaching. I might be a head coach one day.
Yes.
Wow. At like an SEC school and make like $4 million. It's a lucrative profession. And the one thing about it, stability.
What do you think?
Stability in coaching.
When do you think you might use that first? Are you going to be, do you think you might be like a coach of a kids team? Are you
I
wired
do coach,
for that?
You know, kids teams. Yeah.
You do currently?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even go to school for it.
Wait, I minored in it. Yeah, I've got a minor in it.
That's why.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have a minor in coaching. That was my major broadcasting, minor coaching. Yes. No, I'm joking.
You're making fun of yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, I certainly wouldn't do that and just completely waste the money that I spent in
coaching
college.
Coaching is a minor?
It is at Northwest. Yeah. Mel Church taught the theories of coaching football. I got to just, and there were a lot of football players in there, which you develop relationships with. Then you can talk to them and report on them and have the interesting breaking news.
Everything's a hustle Northwest for this football. Guy. Mick, if you say anything between commercial breaks,
I know this.
I just want to make sure you're aware.
Too many radio guys in my life.
Everything's content.
I did not know that.
Everything's content. Unless it is presented as, hey guys, this isn't for air.
And then still half of that is content.
Corey's in Utah now.
That's the half.
That was the half. Corey is in Utah now. I typically respect the, hey, this isn't for air conversation. I respect the, this is off the record, and grant the off the record.
I think you just have to bookend it with Jason. I think you have to be like, hey, look, off the record, then you say your thing, and then at the end you say, again, just a reminder, not for air. Because that way he hears it twice, so hopefully he hears it once.
Yeah, the hearing it twice is a good point, because sometimes I'll hear it at the beginning, then hear what you said, and then be like, ooh, that's good. I need to bring that up in the next segment.
And sometimes what I'll do is I'll tell Jason twice. So I'll be like, hey, this is off the air, and then I'll say the thing. And then afterwards, I'll be like, and again, just as a reminder, not for radio.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's a not for air sandwich.
Yeah.
It's great. Mick Schaefer is hanging out with us. Mick, you enjoying the kids as much as everybody else is?
Not yours.
Wearing- Well, I know you aren't enjoying your
Where
kids.
Where is he going with this one?
The kids wearing Royals uniforms out there playing baseball.
Yes, the kids are all right. Good movie. We tweeted it yesterday.
You tweeted the whole movie out?
No.
Is it like Top Gun?
The kids are all right.
Is the kids all right? Is that movie like Top Gun?
I really feel like I've gotten more bleep than I deserved on this one.
It's because your assessment that Red Dawn or that Point Break was like Top Gun, only without the...
Planes. Tom Cruise and
Tom Cruise
and add surfing
and it's surfing
the plot
and right. Also bank robbing.
Yeah. I was trying to explain it to Beards with a movie that he's seen.
Ever
from that era. Probably. I am the one in this relationship that has seen all the 80s and 90s movies. Apparently,
but he said he hadn't seen Top Gun.
You're explaining
something to a movie that he's like seen bits of, so he wouldn't even know. Like you know what's.
I was trying to get a vibe check. I think Top Gun and Point Break have similar vibes. Is that not a little bit reasonable?
Very masculine kind of play to the machismo.
Mm-hmm.
With a little underlying homoeroticism.
You have a love story in there.
Yep. One has sand volleyball, the other has sand football.
Yeah. See,
beach
exactly.
Football.
And then both the antagonist and protagonist in both are just heartthrobs, right?
They have to be.
Patrick,
have to be. Absolutely.
Iceman and Maverick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Iceman is...
Code names. They both have code names.
Iceman is an A.H. Swayze's a convict. I mean, he's just...
you can't side with him, but you kind of do.
Yeah. He just simply robs banks.
I totally
what he does.
With Iceman. Is that
he's a criminal.
Was I not supposed to root for Iceman?
He's a criminal.
I did.
I loved Iceman. Okay. He was, you know, he was... Maverick was too dangerous, okay?
Yes!
You got your life and other people's lives.
Loose cannon!
In your hands up there. Even though that was Iceman's jet wash that he flew into.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have been that close.
Yeah.
He was too close to the jet wash. That's the problem. He was going too close. Now, Iceman is going to be... Like, they call him... They call Maverick. Maverick? You know, because it...
Makes sense.
But maybe...
I'm with you so far.
But if Ice would have peeled off sooner...
Yeah. which he needed
then, Yeah, then it would have been, you know, Maverick being able to get in there and get the kill. But Ice.
Anyway, Red Dawn 2 was atrocious. They made Thor and the dumpy kid from Drake and Josh, who has gotten in better shape. Good for him.
And PETA, from the Hunger Games.
Yes, yes. But no, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Thor and the dumpy kid from Drake and Josh, who I believe was Josh. No offense, Josh.
I get it.
They're brothers in the movie. Are you dry shaving me? Give me a break. They're brothers? Come on, Hollywood. I'm supposed to believe that? Thor has...
They could have been adopted.
Two other... They weren't.
They weren't.
They were both Eckerts. he has two other acting brothers that are actually his brothers. You could have played that part.
Get
another damn Hemsworth. Liam would have been just fine.
I mean, Danny DeVito and... Arnold Schwarzenegger were twins.
I was going to say, if you're just going 80s action movies, you go Schwarzenegger movies.
By the way, this text comes in. It was great. It says, you know, Top Gun and Point Break both did have a dead man parachute scene. So there's that.
Oh, wow.
That's a great point.
Call.
That's a really
Thank
good
you.
Call. That's it's like Top Gun. Point Break's like Top Gun in that there's a man who dies while parachuting or in a parachute.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Sorry, Goose. You know.
But yeah, Red Dawn is in my top five of all time, and then that almost ruined it, Red Dawn 2.
I refused to watch it. Just refused to watch it.
I wanted, because, I mean, that happened in Wyoming, but I was at a similar kind of small town in Caldwell. I wanted the Russians to invade Caldwell so bad. I so wanted that to
Because you
happen.
Think you would have been part of the Wolverines?
I absolutely thought
you would
I was
have been inside
be
the fence. You would have been absolutely inside.
I mean, I know
Avenge
that.
Avenge me! That would have been you.
I would have been the plant that they sent with the tracker on him. Or the one they had would have had to sacrifice.
That's right. Yeah.
You know that now, but you didn't know that when you were 16.
I thought I was going to go crazy like C. Thomas Howell and just go mental.
I would have absolutely been inside the fence. Guys, please get it done. Okay.
How far are you making it into a zombie movie right
do
now?
You know, we're all relying do you know on you. Red Dawn almost ruined Dirty Dancing? Because Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey dated on the set of Red Dawn and had a bad breakup.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And then when they got Swayze to do Dirty Dancing, they're like, okay, we found a girl. It's Jennifer Grey's like, nope, I'm not doing it. Anybody else? Give me anybody else. But they were so in love with Jennifer Grey, they finally convinced him to do it because Patrick Swayze is a rock star of an actor and human being.
Which brought about one of the more famous lines in movies, nobody puts Russians in the corner.
Movie MASH.
That's exactly Done. Right.
But
so
anyway,
are you liking
yes,
the Royals?
I love the Royals. We had so much fun with the highlights yesterday because it was Vinny P and Nikki P.
Oh, I mean the...
And I said, the dinger wears Prado.
Whose line was that?
So Nick Jacobs said, you should say the first baseman wears Prado. I'm like, that's really good. I love the track you're on. It's just a little wordy.
Yeah.
And so when he hit the homer, I'm like, instead of the dinger, the devil, the dinger wears Prado.
Love it.
So good.
Absolutely love it.
And I usually don't repeat highlights or words to the 10 o'clock, but I had to repeat that one.
Good.
Brady Singer, who's still a young guy. We'll call him youngster still.
Yeah.
It's been great. And then Massey's got a hit like every game, right? He's played except for one or something like that. Pasquantino again in the nightcap. They lose, but it's fun. It's just fun to watch these guys when they're young. And in a year, we'll hate them because they're older and they're still the Royals and they're still going to be 20 games out of 500.
Since the trade deadline.
I can see the future.
Since the trade deadline, those five players, Bobby Witt, MJ, Pasquantino, Prado, Massey, the OPS since the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, that's seven games. Small sample size.
And this is two stats.
So the OPS.
Put together.
Uh-huh, okay. On base plus smashing. 655. 728, 904, 940, 996. Oddly enough, Bobby Witt is the 655.
Wow.
Michael Massey, because he's not mashing, he's getting on base at 357, but
Michael
a 370.
Mashing. I was waiting until he was done. I didn't want to cut him off, and you had less decorum than I did.
You got to learn to cut this guy off, otherwise
Michael
it's going to be like 203.
It's Michael Massey. And then, let's see, Prado's OPSing at 904, MJ 940, and Pasquantino, since the trade deadline, is OPSing at 996. I bring up the trade deadline because that's when all the guys were sort of, Massey is called up, and it was, now this is the turning of the page of the Toronto series was kind of a prequel. Trade deadline has passed. I know it was only Benintendi, Rivera, Whit Merrifield on the trade deadline day, Santana before, but you're talking about a guy who played first base, third base, second base, and left field that were traded over the last month or so, from Santana to Benintendi to Rivera to Whit Merrifield, to then exchanging those guys with younger guys and rookies, and now you're seeing a lineup with 5-6 rookies in there. And these five, especially Whit, MJ, Pasquantino, and Prado, because at the beginning of the year, those were the four names people talked about a lot. Of, will we see them this year? Bobby Witt should start the season with the Royals. MJ Melendez can't be far behind. Pasquantino finished the season just mashing. Nick Prado turned his entire career around in the 2021 baseball season, and maybe 2020 at the alternate site, because 2019 was a disaster for him. He was a mess in the minors, and now Prado is a legit hitting prospect with a gold glove at first base. And hey, you know what? Michael Massey, if he keeps being Michael Massey, he also won a gold glove at second. When you're looking at what those guys have done since the the trade deadline, in these seven games, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs, 4 doubles, 17 runs scored, 9 walks, 4 stolen bases, and 22 strikeouts. But 9 walks, 22 strikeouts. In 7 games with 5 players, only 22 Ks in today's day and age, adding in the 9 walks, I mean, it's been a blast watching them play. Like, I'm watching. Now, if I'm behind and fast-forwarding and trying to catch up, I'll watch them and then fast-forward through Dozier and Michael A. Taylor's at-bats and then go back to watching the younger guys, too. Because, honestly, I know wins and losses matter to a degree, but right now I'm just watching to see what the guys can do. Like, what do they look like at the big leagues? And then, of course, winning games is going to matter at some point, and maybe that's the last part, you know, mid-August or late August into the end of September. All right, what are they doing in terms of winning games, rather than now that they're not so, like, starstruck in the eyes, like, oh my God, there's a third deck. And eventually the feeling of driving to the ballpark every day is going to wear off and it's going to become a job. And then what happens then, when it's not just this fun energy of these young guys hanging out together?
You're not busting it down the line to first base every
In 2 years, I wonder if Nate Eaton is at third on the dropped pop-up to center. I wonder if he's at second, but not sprinting on the pop-up to where they drop it and he's already at second and just turns and ends up at third. With, by the way, a play at third. The ball got there right after him. He's at second, or maybe he's running back to first, you know, in 2 or 3 years. But the younger guy, it's triple, you know, ends up being a hustle play. And you're like, see, that's why we like these young guys. These other guys aren't doing that. Well, yeah, because it's turned out to be a job. And when it turns out to be a job, now it's your talent. Mm-hmm. Now it's how good are you, not just this is awesome and fun and everybody's having a good time playing baseball, so you're going to play a little bit more loose and you're going to have a little bit more fun and you might play a little bit better. And they're 4-3 in those very small samples of 7 games.
Well, you get security too, right? You're right now, Nate Eaton's battling for a job. Even Prado is, and all those guys, even Pasquantino. Once you get that security of like, okay, I don't have to bust it down the line. In fact, the last 99 times I did it, I was still out. Okay. I'm not going to do it this time. Oh, it's the 100th time. Should have done it. But no, I mean, I'm gonna enjoy the moment now of all these guys. It's so much fun seeing them up, of names you've seen just really on like Twitter highlight clips the last couple of years from the Storm Chasers putting out, oh, Pasquantino, 3-for-4. Here's his 2 doubles and a home run. And now you're seeing them at the big league level. And they're having their struggles, but they're also having their successes. And they're looking more and more like big leaguers. And that first game yesterday was a blast. You get the 2 home runs from Vinny P and Nicky P. And then Singer pitches his butt off. And you're like, okay, the future could be closer than you think. And no, it's a good move by the Royals. They've actually been very transactional. I think it was August 4th. Granted, the trade deadline just hit. But by August 4th, I'd count, they've made 17 moves. So, and in July, they made, I mean, just dozens upon dozens. And so they're
well, that's where I looked at it at the trade deadline. And I know there was a lot of different ways to view it of, did they do enough? And I think there was actually a yes and a no to that. Like, did they do enough on that specific day? My answer was no on that specific day. But did they do enough in terms of the season? Because if on that day, if they would have traded Santana, Benintendi, the 35th pick, Emmanuel Rivera, Cam Merrifield. Gallagher, Whit Merrifield on that day would have been like, holy bleep, fire sale for the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, you look from July and you throw in the draft and just how different the organization is now with this influx of new players and a lot of the old guard out. Yeah, I mean, just that month span, they did a lot.
And it's an acknowledgement, too, by trading Whit Merrifield, whether it was the comments that he made or not. JJ said it had nothing to do with it. But whether it was comments he made or not, trading Whit Merrifield is an absolute turning of the page from this group of Royals players that they felt like were so close to competing. And Whit was going to be part of that leadership of that group that's going to be competing for a division championship to now. Yeah, that's over. That's over. That run, those players, now this is the next group of players, next go of it, to try to see if the Royals can get something going here. You mentioned Brady Singer. Before we break, I brought this up with Monty in the 11 o'clock hour and then some of the names. So since July, Brady Singer has had 7 starts. So most everybody, starters in baseball, have had 7 starts. A few of them have had 8. So looking at all starting pitchers since July 1st, Brady Singer is 9th in baseball in strikeouts. Here are the names that are in front of him. Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, Spencer Strider, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Corbin Burns, Shohei Ohtani, Carlos Rodon, Brady Singer.
I don't watch a lot of baseball anymore. Are they good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard of all of them.
He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball since July 1st. He's got a 2.45 ERA. Which, out of those pitchers in front of him, is the third lowest. Of those pitchers that are in front of him with strikeouts, is the third lowest. Max Scherzer's got a 1.37 because he's Max Scherzer. Blake Snell's got a 2.41. Brady Singer's got a 2.45 in that time. And he's 9th in strikeouts. I don't know if he's going to be like an ace, like a real, like when you say there's a handful of aces. But I think what we're seeing from him, there's a potential of being a second-tier ace. You know, behind the 5-6 players, and maybe even less than that, that you can say, this is an actual ace, a Jacob deGrom, a Max Scherzer, actual ace in baseball. And then the next group of guys that are like, 10 to 20 players that are there, I think he could absolutely, what we've seen, if he's this consistent in doing these things, I think he can absolutely be in the top 20, 25 pitchers, starting pitchers in baseball.
What were we saying 3 months ago in May? Maybe a bullpen guy.
Throw a freaking changeup.
Maybe a bullpen guy.
Maybe he can be a guy that eighth or ninth.
At this point.
Sinker slider guy, and give him max effort, and he could be dominant in that inning or two. And credit the Royals for not giving up and continuing to throw him out there, and credit the Royals for sending him down. And whether it was anywhere near reality with Dayton Moore saying, you may never get a call back up. You know, you're not guaranteed to ever be back in the big leagues as we're sending you down. Or if that was the first time there was tough love, because he clearly worked on a changeup down there. Whatever went on, it's worked now. And he's, 15 starts. He had 37. So, 52 starts into his career now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, look, it's either a miraculous turnaround or we just need to be more patient with our comments. So it's probably a miraculous
turnaround. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We got to do this. I mean, every day the mics come on at 10.
There
are
5 days in between starts.
That's 20 hours of radio.
You want to talk about the Chiefs? Are you kidding me?
It takes me 20 seconds to record the changeups, the sinkers, and the sliders that Brady Singer threw in that game to keep track on my spreadsheet. 20 seconds. I've got another 19 hours and 40 seconds to fill after that, all right?
Well, you'd have 19 hours, 59 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
40
yeah.
seconds.
Yep, thank you.
He's a very
there.
Slow typer.
I type, I jab at
my
it.
My 20 with seconds the, takes an hour.
I jab.
I hope you have better timing for next segment.
Wouldn't mark that there, beards. We'll take a time. My 20 seconds takes an hour. You
be
wish.
The opposite.
You wish. We'll take a time out and we'll explain whatever this next.
Are we shot clocking it next?
We're shot clocking it, baby.
I guess we are shot clocking it, whatever that means. We'll explain, and I will also learn along with everybody else on the other side of the break. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The more dead puppies there are in the world, the more that's going to dilute the cuteness of the puppies that we have right now. Less puppies means more cute, okay? They said it in Incredibles.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so
Shot clock reviews.
Okay, so here's the thing. There isn't the audio that we can find of Vin Scully saying
hot shot hit foul,
in which he said he did not say hot shot hit foul.
Correct. Uh-huh.
He got those things mixed up. So I'm worried about the shot
clock review. There are a couple of landmines in it, but we navigated it for a while in AES.
I worry about saying schlot.
Then what?
Then what was it, the second one?
Clock.
Yeah, that's the right word, though. Yeah. So that's not
preview.
Okay. That's where, that would be embarrassing.
It's the preview that gets me every time. All right, so what are we doing here?
So this is Shot Clock Reviews. This is a bit that has made the, I would say, has really risen to a new level, unless it gets killed again today, from the ashes of almost entirely sports, now making its debut here on The Zone.
Oh, I didn't know that. Let's take a time out. Let's figure out something else. Thrift store prices are coming
up. Whoa, hey, Beard, still good news. Jason took a break before the 45-minute mark, so it's still win-win.
It's a win.
Beard's is like, 52-minute mark. What are you kidding?
Either we do this and have fun, or we take a break early. I'm good either way.
Beard's literally could not care less either way. These are all winners for him. But so it's you get a 24-second NBA shot clock. I'll throw it to you. You'll hear the clicking start, and you need to announce what your topic is. You get your review, and at the end, you must give a score out of a scale of 1 to 10. I guess 0 to 10.
We give our own score?
Yeah, you are rating it for yourself. Beards and I will each go first, so you guys get a rep to kind of hear how this works.
Also, just really quickly, just a slight change of what you said, Josh. I'll let you say what it is, then I'll start the shot clock.
Okay, excellent.
So my broadcasting strategy has typically been the Bud Lathrop shot clock of basketball.
Yeah.
In that
there's no shot clock.
I've just taken a 10-6 lead in the second quarter, and I will not shoot again this game.
Yeah, totally a coincidence that we decided that one of the best bits to bring over from AES to here would be the one that would put you on a timer. Totally coincidental, not at all a part of the reason we thought this bit would be good for you. Did not come up before.
I already don't like it. All right, let's see how it goes.
Beards, I would love to talk about the film Bullet Train. We got to see Bullet Train because 810 had an event over at B&B Theaters, went and saw it. I did not know what to expect going in. I was enticed by the trailer. The movie actually got going. The reviews were not very good. I had my expectations drop. Folks, Bullet Train is like if Wes Anderson did a mountain of cocaine, watched Murder on the Orient Express on one screen and Deadpool on another, then lived on a liquid diet of sugar-free Red Bull for the duration of production. That is a compliment. This movie rules. It's a 7.5 out of 10.
The movie or your take?
My take's a 10 out of 10. The movie is a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you're giving your review of something, giving the score of what you reviewed.
Giving the review of just something, but it doesn't have to be a movie.
I feel like we should give him the score,
not himself.
I see, so you can review the thing.
I see.
I thought we were reviewing the take. No, you're reviewing a topic. Usually it's content, but like during AES, I did one that was reviewing watching the Suns lose in the finals. So like that for me was like a 2 out of 10 experience.
I see.
You guys will probably get it if we could just get one more example, Beards.
I'm going to talk. Oh, hang on, I already.
Oh, come on, man!
I give that a 1 out of 10, Beards. One out of ten.
I'm going to talk about Star Trek Lower Decks. It's an animated Star Trek show that's on Paramount Plus. It's a comedy. It's instead of focusing on like the senior staff like most Star Trek is, it's more focused on the grunts where they're, you know, having to experience everything secondhand. It's really funny. It's a little too self-referential for my liking sometimes, but it's still good. It looks good for an animated show. And you know what? I would give it a 7 out of 10. It's a good time.
Okay. It's a good time.
So what's a good time? The show?
The show.
The show's a good time.
The show is a good time.
This was
you're reviewing something in 24 seconds.
anything, though.
Yes, right? Sure.
It doesn't have to be a movie or a show.
Not correct. Anything you want.
Because so far it's been a movie and a
That's
show.
Exactly
well,
right.
yeah, so the thing is that we've only gotten through two of them kind of because you guys have been really hung up on the concept of doing a review of something.
In
and Nick especially,
seconds.
I know that it's really tough for you to have to kind of accomplish your thing in a very short period of time.
Right? Yeah.
I know this is new for you, but I think you'll be able to pull it off.
Well, he just said 20 seconds is like an hour for him.
Yeah, I get six stories in, I think, in 24 seconds.
Let's see if you can get one in.
Is it my turn?
What's your review? You say the name of the thing, Beard just hit the clock, and it's party time.
All right, I'm reviewing Texas getting a number one vote in the coaches poll. Go!
Go!
Texas got a number one vote in the coaches poll as the 18th ranked team in the country, okay? How long are we going to do this exercise, okay? Because do you know of the top 25 but winningest teams in the last 10 years? Do you know where Texas ranks? Do you know where Texas ranks in that top 25?
Number one?
No. What's your guess?
15th.
51st!
What's your score out of 10?
They rank 51st in wins in the last 10 years.
Needs to be between one and zero.
Can we go to the video and review to see if that was after the shot clock? did he get the shot off?
I'd release.
He released. The ball was in the air. The ball was in the air.
51st before.
It was like a half-court shot. The ball was in the air a long time.
Okay, very good.
I think you hit it, though. I do need to know what you would give on a scale of 1 to 10.
So
Texas
what am
getting
I?
Texas getting a first place vote.
Oh, that's a one.
There you go.
That's a one.
So one out of 10.
I enjoyed the commentary, a 10 out of 10 from Mick.
But we can do shot clock reviews as a podcast exclusive, but we're doing shot clock reviews of a thing.
Although I kind of do like them winning every offseason to where when the regular season comes and they lose, it's just so much fun.
That one's
just last.
That's a violation. That's the other team's
ball
now, actually.
That'd be a 9 out of 10 there.
But as an aside, you are right. It is amazing that the number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 18 teams receive first place votes in the coaches' poll.
And don't get me wrong, 18 is overrating them too. They were 5-7 last year. If you give Texas all this love, please give Air Force the same amount. Because they have the exact same amount of wins as Texas in the last 10 years.
Is Air Force back? Because I haven't heard that Air Force is back.
Is Mizzou back? Because they have one less win than Texas the last 10 years.
I hope they're back. It'd be nice if they were back. By the way, Wake Forest ranked 19th in the poll that came out, yesterday, the day mm-hmm. before. They have now lost their stud quarterback.
Sam Hartman
to a
non-COVID
related illness. That he will be out for some time, for a while.
It's a tough energy to bring to this fun segment, but I understand.
Well done,
Jason. Had to happen.
Well, I'm just saying we're going through this, and Wake Forest is 19th. Like, you don't see Wake Forest number 19 in the country in preseason poll, and you won't see them there very long if Hartman's not going to play this year. So there you go.
Is that your shot clock review, or do you have another fun topic?
That was it. I give it an 8.
Okay, well, we've got to play the imaging, so you get to go again, I guess.
I gave my review an 8. Yeah. Okay, I'd really like to talk about episode number 1 of Hard Knocks last night.
Okay. Perfect.
So if you haven't seen it, sorry, there's spoiler alerts. Turns out it's football. It's a training camp football with the Detroit Lions. I actually came away from episode 1, and I'm finding myself more and more liking Dan Campbell. I thought I would just make fun of him and only make fun of him because of how funny and crazy he is and the things that he says at the press conferences. But I'm really liking him because he does come across as really genuine. And I love that Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn hate each other on the field, and all they do is scream and yell at each other and talk trash. He's the defensive coordinator's Aaron Glenn. Deuce Staley is on the offensive side, and every single play they're yelling at the other guy, and it was really good. I gave it a 3 out of 10. No, Chuck. 8 out of 10 for episode number 1.
That
eight
was a turnover a long time ago.
I released the ball.
Yeah, shocker.
I released the ball.
Jason went long.
It was three quarters of a court shot.
You did like 1985 college basketball when the shot clock was 45 seconds.
I told you I am from the radio school of Bud Lathrop. A shot clock does not exist in my mind.
Think of this as an exercise just as much as it's a bit. You know,
I don't
it's
like
an exercise in brevity. And also, you get to talk as fast as you want. Nobody can yell at you for it, which is another part of it that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about one more thing.
We're doing another one?
Everybody gets two. Everybody's got two.
Oh, can everybody's I talk about what I expect from episode 2 of Hard Knocks then?
If that's, you know, that's really, that's between
you
and
range.
Dan Campbell.
Love your range.
Yeah, really, really showing off here, Jason.
I should have saved my second one for Aaron Glenn and Deuce Staley's arguing
that
on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, you could have. You've probably read a book or listened to a song or watched a movie or experienced something. You've had your kid at work the last couple days. You could review bringing your child to work days. You know, whatever. You have your entire life to draw from.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
In the meantime, I'd like to review my experience with houseplants. I recently became a plant guy. It kind of happened against my will a little bit, at least by surprise. I had a cactus for a really long time, and then I got a couple other ones as gifts. And now I'm at a point where I am fully, like, I have an app that tells me what days to be watering my plants based on the type of pot they're in, the type of plant they are, the type of dirt and everything. And it's only getting worse. I'm not getting better at it. I'm caring more, but my plants are dying faster. And so if anybody has any great plant tips, they'd like to reach out to me at JB Briscoe on Twitter. My experience has been a flat 5 out of 10. I want to love it, but I'm not very good at it yet.
I'm terrible with plants.
It's easier to keep humans alive than plants. Everybody says, oh, I can't keep a plant alive. How can I have a baby? It's easier to keep a baby alive.
How can I have a baby?
Good. Great note. But
so many people say that.
Great point. Here's the thing. Risk-reward, extremely different ratios. Because if you fail to keep a plant alive, shucks. If you fail to keep a person alive...
What word do you...
Whoopsie.
There he is. Goes from shucks to whoopsie.
Whoopsie daisy.
Shucks.
Uh-oh.
Whoopsie.
It's an uh-oh at that point.
It's my bad.
Whoa, that's mine over here.
I always hate the, like, when we bought some plants for the front porch and we were, and the lady was like,
porch plants are a whole different thing.
She was like, these are easy maintenance. You can't kill them. 1 week later, they're dead. I clearly can kill them.
Yeah, it's tough.
So anyway, beards?
Yes. So
why did you sound surprised?
I was getting the camera and everything ready. So for my next one, I'm going to do season 2 of The Flight Attendant. I don't know if you guys saw season 1 or not.
No.
It's a very good show. Kaylee Cuoco, is that how you say
her
name?
Sure.
There we go. She's good. She's great in it. It's still got great chaotic energy is what I would call it. Two seasons is probably about enough for them. I think they said they're wrapping it up after this season, so that's a good call. They've kind of reached the limit of what they can do with the story. It's still very good. It's very entertaining. I loved the side characters that they had in this one where they kind of gave them more of a spotlight. I'd give it like an 8 out of 10.
Wow. Well, 8 out of 10 for season 2. All right.
I liked both seasons of Flight Attendant, and Kelly Coco's really good.
She's very good.
Absolutely.
I feel like no one can say her name confidently. I feel like everyone's kind of like, kind of Google. You kind of
As soon as I say the first syllable, confidence is gone. Kelly Coco.
It becomes like handwriting sort of trailing off like most of my words and sentences. Mick, you got one more for us?
I do.
Mick Schaefer, what would you like to review?
This is my review of an NBA player whose name I can't pronounce. Go. Is it DeJounte Murray? DeJounte Murray?
You got it right the first time.
DeJounte. Mm-hmm. He plays for the Hawks now, and he apparently plays in this stupid idea of a league, a pro-am. What a horrible idea. And when he's playing in it, he shows up these guys by, like, bashing them on the head with the basketball and then doing a move, and the internet goes bananas over it. Congratulations, DeJounte. The guy's going to go drive UPS trucks tomorrow morning. And you showed him up on the court, NBA player. Get out of here. That's a 1 out of 10 reviewing that.
Shout out to my UPS drivers that also play basketball on the side against DeJounte Murray. Shout out.
Yeah.
I really like it.
And by the way, it's an offensive foul, bros.
I think the collective... I think you
called
brought
a foul.
I think mixed reviews have sort of collective 2 out of 20, which is such a good energy to bring.
Because
what happens to me is that, like, I end up with like 15 video games that I want to talk about, but I know people only have like 24 seconds of attention span at best. You're bringing things that have made you angry that you're carrying with you.
There have been more positive reviews, I think, in the history of Shot Clock reviews than a negative.
Definitely, I like this as therapeutic reviewing.
This is more
for
like the Family Guy what grinds my gears.
I love it. I think that's great. Yeah.
I'm seeing that energy coming from you.
I love it. Jason, what's your energy going
to
be?
I am going to review Shot Clock Reviews. Go.
Yeah, excellent.
All right, so the first time we've done this, I didn't hear it on Almost Entirely Sports. I like the show, but apparently not enough.
Yeah.
It's a decent concept. It's going to take a while for us to really get this down. Mm-hmm. I like mixed negative energy.
Me too.
You and Beards have had some practice, so it's like, oh, we know what we're doing. You guys are so dumb, and you treat us like little children. We've never done this. When we thought the reviews was going to be you guys reviewing what our review was, not then we get to review our own review of what we're reviewing anyway, that review doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I think I'll get used to it. I'm giving it a 1.
That's... Oh,
I'm just joking.
It's a review of reviews.
I like an 8.
Reviews.
I'm going to give it an 8 on potential. Two thumbs up.
I think the 4. Format now you got, I think the energy here is going to be fascinating.
Here's
to feel
deal.
Out.
What about 7 weeks down the road? Am I going to bring this much thought? Because a lot of times now, I'll tell you what, learn funniest best,
exactly.
I think of about 45 seconds before
Learn Funniest Best.
No, we take a break. We're like, all right, on the other side of Learn Funniest Best.
Oh, I got to find
I need to learn. I need to, let me search my Twitter. Did anybody tweet me anything that was funny? Let me go check
Anytime
this out.
We learn something at about 1:30 on Monday, you can realize that maybe we didn't have that all figured out over the weekend. Shot clock reviews, I'm overqualified for.
Anytime that there's like, you know what? I know this wasn't from the weekend. It means they just thought of it. They just had to come up with it. It happened today. It wasn't the weekend. It actually happened in the break there. Yeah. I learned that Todd Lebo was going to a movie tonight.
Yeah, that's what I learned. That's what
I learned Funniest Best.
That's also funny. You know what's the best thing I learned all weekend? That's my favorite. it's my LFB Todd Lebo.
Funniest Best and learned all about that. I think a pretty good debut.
You already gave it an 8. I mean, I feel like put a bow on it. We're great, man.
I gave
Hall of Fame bit.
The concept an 8.
Sure.
The first iteration of said concept
would
be
see.
Like a 6.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. A nice 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
For the execution, concept is an 8. I'm totally content with that.
And next week, we'll try to be 1% less bad.
Or just 1% angrier, perhaps.
I got that covered.
I kind of like that.
I kind of do, too.
I'll try to become...
Is this bit going to get angry when it makes the evolution to the zone? Yeah. It's like a Pokemon. Speaking of, I'd like to give you a 24-second review of the last trailer for Pokemon...
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I felt like stuff exploded inside of me.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, wrapping up the show on a Wednesday. Mick Schaefer's brought to you by Kona Big Wave. Take a little break and single task tonight with a Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company. You know what? Speaking of which, let's hear Rob Walton. New Broncos owner, as he was being introduced as the newest owner of the Denver Broncos and was going through some of the different people that he wanted to thank. And of course, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, has to be at the top of the list of people that you would like to say thank you to and acknowledge as you are now the newest owner in the NFL, one of only 32 teams to play in this league with a commissioner that is very, very well known and especially talked about as of the last couple of weeks, too. Here's Rob Walton, who was really informed on the NFL.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Twice.
Roger. Sorry, not Roger Goodell.
Yeah,
Commissioner Goodell.
Commissioner Goodell.
I got the Roger
I messed that
wrong.
Up. It's Commissioner
yes.
Griddle.
She's Shaning Bricks. Shouldn't say that word. Sorry, Shaning Rocks. Yes. Roger Goodell. I'm sorry, Commissioner Goodell. Sorry, Commish. Yes. like to thank the Clarks. Sorry, just the one Clark. I apologize.
Someone's tweeted me to get plastic. I took a second to figure out what that meant. They meant plastic plants.
Oh.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Children.
Whoa, well, good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have you have a list of squirrel responses.
It's honestly going to take more than a minute.
So it couldn't be a shot clock review?
Probably not.
You can just tell me off the air then.
I think I'm going to just save it. I'm going to holster it. You can live with your squirrels until you make time for that segment. I mean, we can have Renee call in if you want. Really take over the show. 2v1 at that point.
We're going to lock Seren out of this studio.
Probably not
and we'll
today.
Be on it like a 2:03.
We're working
we'll
on Jason's squirrel problem. Renee has some expertise. We have some ideas.
Problem? I mean, I've tried a lot of different things to get these. There's a couple squirrels that keep wanting to eat the tomatoes and my apples.
Oh, I got it. Don't plant tomatoes or apples.
Well, there's an apple tree. I want to take it
out. Go to the store and get them. Problem solved.
I mean, that
I will,
seems
spoiler
like
alert,
it's easy to do.
One of Renee's ideas was stop leaving food outside. Nick makes a great point.
Squirrels are being squirrels, okay?
I know.
You need to be adjacent.
I just want them to be less alive squirrels. They're just rats with long tails.
Oh, no.
Those will be the only squirrels, I'm sure.